had this message for a few weeks, but I felt like this was the time to give it. So pray the Lord will help us to get what we need out of it. Understanding God's providence. We found that in the Bible there's a lot of scriptures, I'm sure I won't get to read all of it, about how God deals with people through providential circumstances. And he's still doing that today in our lives. And when we get to the place where we can understand when God's working, we will not become discouraged. And no matter what happens, we will realize that God can work it for our good if we take it the right way. So we want the Lord to help us. I want to read the definition of providence. It says, preparation for the future, provision, wisdom, and skill in management, the care or guidance of God. God is the guiding power of the universe. Thankful today that we can trust in the Lord that he is the guiding this world. Even though we see evil, even though we see bad things happening, we still can trust in the divine guidance of God. And we must never lose that. We must never be shaken by anything, but believe that God is going to help us and he's going to work it out. He's going to take care of it. He has all power. Now, we know the devil has some power, but God said, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. So we have more power through God and through the Holy Spirit than the enemy has. Even though the devil has a certain amount, he does not have the power that God has. And no matter what evil we see in the world today, God has the final say. He has the final say. No, he doesn't even have close to what God has. Thank the Lord. And so God prepares for the future. Wants you right now, every one of you, to think back a little bit. We don't have time for everyone to testify right now, but in your minds, think back how God prepared for your future to this day. How he worked things out for you in marvelous ways. How when you came up against a wall, it looked like, what am I going to do now? This is horrible. This is terrible. Why would God allow this? But we, at the same time, we submit. And we say, oh, God, this is hard, but Lord, you help me to get the good out of it. That's when you can have real Christian growth, when you realize that no matter what comes your way, that you can get some good out of it. No matter how it hurts, no matter how it just seems like it's the worst thing that could have happened to you, you've got to believe that God will work out something good out of this. That all things work together for good. Not all things that happen to us is good. There's very bad things that happen to Christians. But we can believe that God will work it for our good. If we believe the Bible, we can believe that. And when we say, Lord, help me to submit to this trial and help me to understand what you're trying to tell me. Lord, through this you've allowed, there must be something you're going to show me in this. And when you submit to that and take the right spirit and the right attitude and humble yourself, God shows you what it is. He shows you how to work on yourself, and you can come through that and you can have the victory. But if you murmur and complain and say, this is the terrible thing, this is awful, I don't like it, and you just don't get the good out of the trial. You just stay in misery, and you're just not understanding, and there's lots of things we're never going to understand. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand, and I tell you, I know you don't understand a lot of things, but one thing we do know, we can trust in the power of God, and we can trust in the providence of God. We'd like to start reading, we won't go the whole stories, but we want to read Genesis 28 a little bit, and we'll just kind of in my own words, kind of bring out some of the story so we don't have to read all of it for the sake of time. But you know about Jacob and Esau, huh? Jacob stole Esau's birthright. And you know, we think, Isaac's wife, Rachel, did all this conniving and all this, told her son to, you know, do this to get the birthright, and all that was wrong. And we know that was wrong, but yet God still took it. and still made a blessing out of it. And even when Jacob was sent away from home, and his brother Esau hated him and wanted to kill him, and he had to leave. And really, was it all Jacob's fault when his mother was telling him to do all this? He just did what his mother told him to do. Don't you know that the Lord understands when we get in circumstances that we might think we may have tried to do our very best and we made a mistake? Don't you think that God understands the pressure, the circumstances, the problems, everything that's involved that caused you to do something? And he can take that and make it for your good somehow. He can teach you things. Many things, even in Michigan, that we went through that was kind of hard, helped and prepared me for when I was here, to help me to know how to do and what to do. And the Lord allows things to happen to us that's not easy, to teach us and correct us and help us. And, you know, when Jacob was running for his life, this is what he did. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to work toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place. Of course, his father told him to go to get a good wife, you know, and that's what he was on his journey to do. But anyway, but he was turned out because his brother wanted to kill him. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I just can't think of anything worse, or one of the things would be worse, is to be turned out from your family and be all alone. But he wasn't alone. He had the great God. But there he was, and out there, and he didn't have a pillow. He just made a stone there for his head to lay down. And I don't know, what were the feelings? You know, these people were real, just human beings like us, you know. He had feelings that, you know, what am I going to do? My brother wants to kill me. I had to leave my family, and I'm supposed to look for a wife, and where am I going to find a wife? I don't know a wife. I don't know a woman out here. You know, and all these questions and all these, I don't understand none of this. Why did God let me come to this place? So he lays down, but God gave him a dream. As he laid down there, he said, he put his stones for a pillow. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Many times we get in places, and we didn't know the Lord was there. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears to us. It's either a dream, or it's a vision, or it's understanding, or enlightenment, or something that God, and we say, oh my, God was in this thing. God was in this place, and I knew it not. At first, I didn't know it, but now I see, I understand. We are so dependent upon God. We're just little human beings that need God so much. We need him to help us to understand. Lots of things we just don't understand. We don't understand. How did I get in this place? Jacob said, I didn't know God was here. I didn't know it. I knew it not. But this is where God is. God's talking to me. And what did he say? And Jacob rose up early in the morning. And it said, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven, or the door of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. You know, that's what they did a lot. They had these sacrifices to God. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. dear saints, I want you right now in your mind to put stones in the providence of God in your mind, not a literal stone, but I want you to put those Ebenezers that God provided for me. He prepared for me. He brought me to this place. Every one of us can think of how God worked in our life. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we wouldn't have what we have. We wouldn't have our husband that we have. We wouldn't have our wife that we have. We wouldn't have the children we have. We wouldn't have the grandchildren we have. We wouldn't even have this church family that we have. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we would be lost. But God has worked in our lives to give us blessings, and He will give us blessings. And don't give up when the way gets hard. Realize it is the providence of God. God, He can take what's bad and make good out of it. Don't get discouraged. Trust in the Lord. These people in the Bible were just like us. They had problems. They had difficulties. They were distressed. They were problems, but God would bless them and talk to them. And He talks to us today. He gives us encouragement. So He vowed a vow. Now I want to talk a little bit and we are very familiar. We'll go here to Job a little bit. And most of us know that story really good. But I just want to read just a few different verses. You know, it was the providence of God, or God allowed everything that happened to Job. It wasn't good at first. It was very bad. And you know, sometimes saints go through some bad things. And it's not that we should look upon them and say, you're a very bad person because of your troubles and your problems. That's not true. God allows troubles. He allows problems to test His saints, just like He did Job. But Job was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He did everything he could to live for the Lord. He put his 100% into it, don't you think? Job was a righteous, godly man. He eschewed evil. He wanted to do the right thing, but yet he had so many troubles. He had so many problems. And you know, it says here, even God told Satan in the third verse of the second chapter, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I was just wondering how God thinks of us sometimes. That's why, saints, we need to put our 100% in this and be the best we can for the Lord, because He's looking upon His children and He's thinking, He's delighting in us, just like He did at Monarch. He rained upon us, and He kept raining upon us and raining upon us. And you know, I just thought, Lord, You're just loving us all week. You just keep loving us. You know, the Lord loves His servants. He may say that about you and think that about you. Oh, I consider, I'm thinking about my brother. I'm thinking about my sister, that he's faithful, that she's faithful. And you know, I delight in that. Don't you think the Lord delights in His children? He was delighting in Job. He was, I won't say bragging, but he was really feeling good about Job. He wanted to tell Satan, look at there, I got a man that really serves me. You know, God wants to look at us like that. I've got a daughter that really serves me. I got a brother that really serves me. He does the best he can. You know, we may think God's not watching. He's not seeing. He doesn't, oh no, that's not true. God's watching. He's seeing. He's listening. He's watching us. He's blessing us. He's helping us. And you know, anytime He wants to, He can open the windows of heaven and pour a blessing upon us that we can hardly contain anytime. Oh, He's a wonderful God. But you know, He said, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man. Now this is what God said. This is the way Job was, because God cannot lie. And God said he's a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is thine, he is in thine hand, but save his life. In other words, you can go so far, Satan, but you cannot take his life. And you know, then we know what all the bad things happened, the boils and all the problems, and all his children were killed. We're not going to read all that. And all his riches, or all the stuff he had, it was all taken away. And just all kinds of troubles. Even his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he said, you're speaking as a foolish woman. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to love the Lord anyway. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep being faithful. Oh, can we, dear ones, when we get into problems and difficulties, and we say, I don't understand how this happened. I don't understand how I got here. What happened anyway? You know, can we trust the Lord? Can we trust His providence? Can we believe that, God, you're going to help me through this? And even though it looks so bad, I was reading in the Birth of Reformation something that Brother Warner said, and it just amazed me. And he said his wife left him, and then she, no, left him, but she married another man. And he said how he got the victory over it, he just counted it the providence of God. Now, we know that that was not what God wanted. That was not what God wanted. She was evil to do that. She was very wrong to do that. But the reason he said, he just said, he knew that God would work it for his good. He didn't mean that that was what God wanted. He didn't mean that at all. But he just had such consecration to know the worst thing that could happen to him at that time, probably, they said it was so hard on him. He believed that God in His providence could work in his future and prepare for him and bless him. And later on in his life, you know, this woman that left him and married another man, she only lived 1 year and she died. That doesn't always happen. But in that case, it did happen. And I remember he went on, he kept preaching. He didn't go sit down and say, well, I'm going to quit preaching now. My wife left me, married another man, so I got to give up. Why should he give up? He hasn't done nothing. He's living a holy life. He's doing all he can do the right thing. He went out and kept evangelizing and preaching, and he got a telegram. You know, they didn't have these smartphones like we have today or these computers to send emails, but he got a telegram, and the telegram said Sarah died this morning. It was very sad. He said the first child of all the siblings had died, and he said Sarah died. Oh my. In 1 year, he was brokenhearted about it. He wasn't happy. But you know, the Lord saw if she wasn't going to live for the Lord took her. And later on, he got another good Christian wife. But anyway, it was the worst thing, one of the worst things that happened to Brother Warner. But he knew that God would take care of it. Whatever happened, God would work something out for him. He would live for the Lord. If she continued living, he would live for the Lord. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to give up the fight. Dear ones, we've got to be like that. We've got to trust in the Lord. We got to believe in God. We got to have faith no matter what happens to us. You know, it's not that I'm glad that happened to Brother Warner. I'm not glad, but often I've thought about it. I thought, you know, he just was so courageous. And there's others that we see among us that have been so courageous and so faithful to the Lord. And then there's sometimes, you know, people, if they lose their companion, I've seen people right among us years ago, I'm talking about, but they just gave up, went into sectism. Well, I thought, well, their companion was a real saint. But when their sainted wife died, or it could have been a sainted husband, I'm just giving an illustration in my mind, I know who I'm talking about. But this person just went on, his sainted wife died, he just left us. He went into sectism. He didn't stay. I don't know why. I don't know what was wrong, but there had been something wrong with his experience. But dear ones, we can't just lean on each other too much. We got to have our own foundation, because we don't know what's going to happen. And we've got to live for the Lord no matter what happens. And God gives us His companions to love, and we cherish them. We appreciate that. But you've got to hold steady no matter what happens. Don't get bitter. If the Lord allows something, you don't get bitter about it. You don't question God. When God does something, He does all things well. And you know, you say, well, that's never happened to you, but there's other things that's happened. And we trust in the Lord, that Lord does all things well, and He'll prepare for me by the providence of God. And I'm going to be encouraged by God's grace till I die, till I take my last breath. We can be encouraged. The Lord doesn't want you to be sad all the time. He doesn't want you to be gloomy. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to dry your tears. You know, I read one time, it says, if you have a problem or a sorrow, it said, go to prayer. It's a little poem, but it says, tell Jesus the rest and let others be blessed. So, you know, just you bury your sorrow. You tell it to the Lord in private. You tell him your problems. And you go out and you be happy. And you tell Jesus and you let others be blessed. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. So we read just a little bit about Job here. I want to read just the end a little bit. But, you know, Job, he had these Job comforters we heard, you know. One time he said to his friends, you know, they were his friends, but they thought that surely you've done something bad, Job, all the problems you're having. You know, in our human way of thinking, we could think that too, but we don't want to think that of one another because, you know, we want to realize that God has say over each other's life. God has the say. He's working on us. He's working with us. And you know, Job says in the 16th chapter, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters, are ye all. You know, these friends were supposed to be helping him, but they weren't helping him at that time. They were saying things to hurt him and it was just it was harder for him because they weren't being what God wanted them to be. And you know, at the very end, what he required his friends to make sacrifice and repent for what they had done to Job. And when Job prayed for his friends, then the whole blessing started again. So, you know, God works with us in relationships. He cares about us, loving each other, forgiving each other, working with each other. He wants us. He watches when we criticize one another, backbite one another. He's listening. He's hearing. He doesn't like that. He wants us to be encouragement to each other, to love each other, to work with each other, to do all we can to hold up our brother, our sister. You know, we just need one another like that song said. We really need one another because we want to get to heaven. We want to get to heaven. We need each other. So the Lord help us to be all what God wants us to be. I want to talk a little bit. We'll see. At the very end of Job, all these bad things happened to him, but he just kept his integrity. He kept living for the Lord. And the 10th chapter, a 10th verse of the last chapter says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Do you pray for your friends? We need to pray for our friends. We are each other's friends. We need to pray for one another. Ask the Lord to help each other and love each other and be what God wants us to be. I want to talk a little bit about Moses. You know, Moses, look at the providence of God with Moses. In the second chapter of Exodus, you know, King Herod, he was going to kill all the babies. And you know, this mother, she saw something in her babe. And God allowed her to see that. Of course, she had a great love for her baby. But she didn't want her baby to be killed. And so she hid this baby for 3 months. Then when she thought, well, the baby's just getting too big, they're going to find the baby out crying or something, or they're going to come along. I've got to do something else. So the Lord put it into her mind to make this little basket and put Moses in this basket, put him down there in the river. I believe it was the River Nile, wasn't it? Put him there, and the Lord, by his providence, caused this queen to go down there and find this little baby. It was all the providence of God. Understand the providence of God in our lives. Do you think that God worked with these people in the Bible? They quit? Do you think he quit? No, he didn't quit because he's still working today. We can all look back and see how God has worked in our lives. And you know, Moses, it says in the second chapter, let's see, I'm getting the right place here. Exodus second chapter, it says, and when she could no longer hide him, the third verse, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now this was another plan, and I think about this little sister, this little girl. She was so well behaved and so intelligent to know to do the right thing, you know. But she was watching the babe. And you could see how this could be so very emotional for this mother to put your baby in a basket and put it out in this river, you know. But she just was at her very wit's end. She thought, you know, I gotta save this child. No, I have to trust the Lord. I just have to put this babe in this basket and trust the Lord. Dear ones, that's what we have to do sometimes. We just have to put our problems in a basket and put them to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to trust you with this, and I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to trust you. And it says here, and his sister stood afar off, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. You know, the Lord let her have that great compassion and love for that babe. The Lord put that mother's love, and women that are naturally, we have a natural mother's love for babies. Even if they're not our own, we have that compassion. And the Lord put that in that woman. You know, I mean, they knew the story. They knew what was going on. But she still, God was protecting Moses because Moses was going to be the leader. You think God, if God can do all that, can't God work in our lives? Can he help us out of all these problems and troubles? Sure, he can lift us up above them all. We can walk on air, so to speak. We can walk on clouds. You know, in the world they say cloud nine, but you know, it's a saying that, you know, I'm up on cloud nine, but we can be on the clouds. We can be on walking on air for the Lord. We can be over these things. It says here, and then it says, and then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for thee? This little sister was so intelligent. God put it in this girl to ask her that. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. The mother of Moses was able to stay with her baby in the palace and take care of Moses. Was this not the providence of God? Wasn't this wonderful? This is so wonderful. And, oh, I tell you, it's just so wonderful. And now we want to think about that, but we wouldn't go on about Moses. But Moses was a great leader for God. He led the children of Israel through the wilderness. He was God's man. And God took care of him when he was a babe. You know, God took care of us when we were babies. We didn't know how to go in, come out. We didn't know how to do anything for ourselves. You know, sometimes we grow up and we think, oh, I can do this. I can do that. You were at a time you couldn't feed yourself. You couldn't get a drink of water by yourself. You were at the mercy of your mom or somebody else. You were at the mercy of God. You got sick. I know my mom told me when I was a babe one time, there was a terrible pneumonia was going around, some kind of flu, and babies were dying. And they took me to the hospital, and they were just carrying out little babies. I was about 2 years old. They were just carrying little babies out. And she said, I was beside myself. She said, I'd stay there day and night with you. I thought you were going to die. I was so scared. And she said, of course, she gives the doctors the glory, but I'm giving the glory to God. You know, the Lord let me live. And she said, one time, she said, I finally said, they said, Dorothy, you've got to go home and get some rest. She was at her wit's end. She was losing strength being there day and night with her baby. And they finally talked her to go away for just an hour or two to get something to eat and rest a little bit. And they said, I just threw up fit. I cried so hard and cried so hard for my mom till she got back. She would never leave my side again. But the babies were just carried out. She said many babies were just carried out of the hospital dead. And the Lord let me live. That just came out of my mind. God took care of us, dear ones, when we were babies. A couple of times I fell down these stairs. My mom said my aunt was supposed to be watching me. I fell down these stairs. I was about 2 or 3 years old. Fell, tumbled, or maybe just a year and a half. I just tumbled down apartment stairs. And she ran down there. She thought maybe something would be broken or I, you know, whatever. But I was okay. The Lord took care of us when we didn't know what to do for ourselves. Oh, praise the Lord. The providence of God. The Lord takes care of us. And then we think about Joseph. Oh, Joseph. Was not that story wonderful? Isn't that story wonderful? Praise God. You know, Joseph, he had all these dreams and, you know, he just, The 37th chapter of Genesis, Joseph, he was a son of Rachel. And Benjamin and Joseph. Joseph was the oldest and then Benjamin. And Jacob really loved Rachel. Didn't love Leah as much, you know. And back then, you know, they had two wives at the same time, which we don't do that now, thank the Lord. But back then it was permissible. But you know, it was a trouble. It was so much trouble. It was not really God's plan. It was not really God's way. But because he loved Jacob so much, because Rachel, when she died, she died to have a Benjamin, and these two boys was from Rachel. And so he loved him so much, and he made Joseph this coat of many colors. And his other brothers got jealous of him. And you could kind of understand why they would. But they carried it too far. They didn't ask the Lord to help them. They got worse and worse till they just hated their brother. They didn't even care if he died, and they threw him in the pit. We know the story about Joseph. And he would have these dreams from God. And you know, that made the brothers hate him even more. But he said some of these dreams, these two dreams, I'll read some about that, 37 and 5. He says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. And they hated him yet the more. He said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made or bowed down to my sheaf. His brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." They hated him. God was working with him. God was working to save their lives, and they didn't know it, but they hated him. They were jealous of him. And they couldn't even see that God was working with Joseph. They did not see the preparation. They did not see what God was going to do with Joseph to save their lives. God had to use somebody, so he used Joseph. But you know, later on, he had another dream. And it says here, in the 9th verse, "And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to me." I'm using my own words there, but that's what that word means. "And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him that time." His father turned against him by the, "You quit, you..." And said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. But you know, God was giving Joseph these dreams. Have you ever had dreams from God? I have. And I have had dreams that came to pass. Excuse me. So I knew it wasn't me. I tell you right now, I do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, except I have some family coming to visit. They told me if it all works out and they come, Lord willing. You know what we're supposed to say? Lord willing, we'll live and do this or that. How many of us say that? Do we say it? Or do we say it just boast of tomorrow and say, "I'll meet you there a week from now. I'll be there Friday." Well, if you don't say Lord willing and you can't make it, then you're not telling the truth, are you? God wants us to say Lord willing, because he said, "What is your life? It is like a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanishes away." How do you know you're going to be here tomorrow? How do you know you're going to be here next week? Do you know? Do I know? How do you know we're going to be here next year? How do you know we're going to go to Monarch next year? If we live, if the world stands and God lets us, we'll have another Monarch. But we cannot know. We don't know the future. God put a veil over the future. He wants us to trust him. It would not be good for you and I to know the future. Now, would it? I do not want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, except I am excited about my family coming. But I don't want to know what's going to happen next week. I can only live one day at a time and trust the Lord to help me through this day. I do not want to know the hour I'm going to die. Do you? Do you really want to know? I would want to know, put it this way, if it comes close and he tells me, you know, a couple days you're going to die or this week you're going to die, and get prepared. But for it just to know, you know, you're going to be so old when you die. I don't want to know. I want to trust the Lord about it, because it would just, it would kind of bring some, not as so much happiness and relaxation and peace that we have today, just to live one day at a time and trust in the Lord, not to have to worry about that day or that year, you know, coming up. You know, God don't want us to worry. That's why we were talking to some unsaved people one time, and they were saying, I don't want to know when I'm going to die. But you know one thing we do, we will die. And that's why the Lord wants us to get prepared. Get prepared. And then he wants us to enjoy our life every day the best we can. Godly enjoyment. That's what he wants. Godly enjoyment. Oh, praise the Lord. So we did go back to this dreams. And then you know what happened to Joseph? But you know, they put him in the pit, then they sold him. But I want to read this. And then also, we don't want to forget, you know, that he was put in prison because a woman told a lie on him. And when the butler and the baker was in the prison, they were put in the prison too. The butler had a dream. And Joseph told him the dream. He said, 3 days, you will be put back in the palace. You will be a butler again to the king. It happened. He said, will you remember me? He told the butler, please remember me. But the butler forgot him for 2 years. And the baker had a dream. 3 days, he would be fed to the birds. He said, 3 days, you will be hung. And 3 days, he was hung. But after 2 years, the butler remembered when this man, this king had a dream and needed somebody. He remembered Joseph. And so he told him, I know someone that can reveal this dream to you. And so then they got him out of the prison. And it says here, let's see, and they dreamed a dream, okay, I already told you about that, the 40th chapter. And it says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. This is Joseph. And here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. But he forgot for 2 years. But then he remembered and he got out of there. So it went on to say, God blessed him. God blessed Joseph. And he was next to the king. And I want to read over here in the 50th chapter. This is a wonderful story. But when the brothers came and presented themselves, they were so afraid that Joseph would not forgive them. They were so afraid of Joseph. But Joseph had a loving, kind, tender heart. And the reason he could forgive his brothers, because he could see the providence of God. This is what the message is tonight. That the Lord wants you to realize, no matter how bad it seems, no matter how bad things look sometimes, remember, it is the providence of God. God has allowed it. Submit to that and you'll get the victory. Submit to God's providence in your life and you will not be under burden so much. Worrying about this, worrying about that. In a turmoil, remember, God will work it out. He is God. He is the great I am. He can take care of anything, right? He can take care of anything. So praise God. And so, the 50th chapter of Genesis, this is what Joseph said to them. His brethren also, in the 18th verse, went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. They were really kind of afraid. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? In other words, am I going to punish you? He had the power to. He could have had his brothers all killed like they didn't care if he was killed. He goes, okay, it's my turn. I'm in authority now. You know, things can turn around for us in our lives. Things can turn around. And, you know, if you're in authority, are you going to be merciful? Are you going to be? Joseph was, because he was not in the place of God. He was not going to get himself in that place. He was going to let God work it out. And Joseph said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. The Lord will work with us in leaderships and in relationships when we are a person of comfort and leadership and love and mercy. God works with us. This is why he allowed Joseph. He saw something in Joseph that Joseph would get to that place. Some people would not be that way. Some people would want to get back. But he didn't want to do that. He was under the authority of God. This is what encourages us tonight. Be under the authority of God's providence. Commit yourself. Submit yourself. No matter what God allows, comfort yourself in this. I won't say too much about this because you all know the story. When we were in that terrible car accident back in, I think it was 1982, and a drunk man hit us. But, you know, my family came and his family came. And when my mom and dad came to take me out of the hospital, his father had took him out of the hospital a little ahead of me that day. And I was walking up towards the house, and the whole thing was just so bad. I mean, it was just... The whole thing, you know, everything was just a bad situation. But I said, Lord, I can look at one thing. I can look at one thing out of this whole thing and praise you. I'm going to do it right now, Lord. I'm going to praise you that we're all alive. I didn't lose my husband. He didn't lose me. I didn't lose my little girls. We had three little girls. One had a broken arm. One was hit in the face so bad. Rhonda was, it was terrible. And little Jody, as far as I know, she was sitting in the middle. She wasn't hurt. But they could have been killed. I could have lost one of my little girls. And I said, God, I'm not going to complain. You know, we had broken ribs for a while. We had to suffer broken ribs. Both Jerry and I had my mother taking care of us. We had broken ribs. Jerry had his jaw wired two places. He couldn't eat for about 60 days. I don't know. 8 weeks? Yeah, that'd be what. Okay. Bad shape now, but we could praise the Lord. Oh, we were all alive. I'm not boasting in that, but since I'm trying to say that, praise the Lord anyway, you know? Praise Him for something. Find something to praise God about. And I said, Lord, I'm not complaining about this. Oh, I could sit around and say, well, I was such a good Christian. My husband's a good Christian. We're trying to raise three little girls. Why would He let us get in a terrible car wreck? Why would He let a drunk hit us? I could just question God and wonder and be miserable and pout and feel bad. But the Lord told me, don't you even go there. Don't you even worry about it. It's over. Praise me anyhow. Thank God anyhow that He let you all live. I said, didn't I not let you live? I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, the blood was pouring out of your head. I had 40 stitches in my temple. Do you know, saints, how many people get hit in their temple and die? That's a tender spot in your skull. When the doctor was sewing my stitches up that night, it would stop bleeding for a while, and I could hear him talk. I couldn't see very well. I was just so sick. The blood was just pouring out of me, everything, broken ribs, everything. I know this sounds gory, kind of, but I tell you what, it was a bad thing. But I remember thinking, hearing the doctor and the nurses say, her blood won't stop. Her blood won't stop. We can't even sew it up. And so I looked to the Lord. I couldn't even hardly talk. I looked to the Lord. I said, Lord, please help me out here. Please help this blood to stop. The Lord stopped that blood. Praise God. The Lord did it. And He said, I see the blood is clotting. It was just a few seconds, just a few. It was immediately almost the blood stopped. And the doctor started, so I had 40 stitches inside and out of my temple. And I can't remember seeing the doctor's face, but I heard what he said. He said, little lady, I was only about 29 years old then. He said, little lady, he said, we almost lost you. He said, it was just a hair breadth going into your skull. God Almighty has kept us alive. God Almighty has kept you alive. Praise His holy name. We can thank Him no matter what we go through in this life. The providence of God, He's preparing a way for us. He let it go so far. Whatever that gear shift, I think we had it on the in the middle, and I think I was sitting in the passenger, and my head probably went down on that gear shift. I don't know for sure. I think that's what happened. And when the blow hit us, I hit Jerry's side. I think my head went into that gear shift. But God did not let it go into the skull, or I would not be here tonight preaching to you. God is a great God. He can let you live when everything looks like you will not live. He can help you to live when the doctors and hospitals say people can't live. They turn them over to God, and God heals them. God can do anything. He can do miracles. He can do whatever he wants to do. Fall down at his knees and praise him. Thank him for everything. Praise the Lord. The providence of God. Understand his working with us. Praise God. Oh, I thank the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Trust in the providence of God. All will be well. We want to trust in the Lord. We want to mention just a little bit here. We want to turn over to Luke 19. We want to mention just a little bit. I brought a couple of things here, but about songs, spiritual songs. Do you know some of the songs? Now this song here, Jesus Lover of My Soul, I went and printed off the computer. It's a sweet little girl in the corner. Looks like a little angel. But anyway, I printed that off because I love that song. It says, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly while the near waters roll, while the tempest still is high. Hide me, O my Savior, high till the storm of life is past. Safe into the haven guide, I'll receive my soul at last. It says, but this part where it says, I wanted to get the part where it says, let me to thy bosom fly. How this man, Charles Wesley, wrote this song. He was walking out in the rain, and he had a raincoat on, and this little bird, I don't know if it's a sparrow or some little bird, flew right into his bosom, right into his raincoat. And that's how the Lord gave him that song, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. That's his first verse. That's how he got that song. But when, I think it was his brother or someone real close to him said, that's too mushy. That will never go. That hymn will never work. It's love, Jesus, lover of my soul, loving my soul. And just, they criticized him and said, you know, it meant well. The people mean well sometimes, but they get different ideas that we have. But he went forth and that song became a wonderful song, a wonderful hymn. This is what I'm saying. The providence of God wanted that song. The providence of God let that little bird fly in his raincoat. The providence of God wanted that song, even though the other person said it's too lovey-dovey. So they said too lovey-dovey. But the providence of God wanted that song. And you know, I think about, and we can't even tell all the songs. Where do we get the song? What a friend we have in Jesus. You know how we got that song? Through a man that built a little cottage somewhere and was getting married to the love of his life, and she died. He never married. He lived in that little cottage. He lived out his life. He loved this woman so much, he never married again. He just stayed with, but he was so brokenhearted. He was so, that he wrote, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Do you know how awful that heart was for that man? That's where that song came from. Again, the Lord took something bad. He let something good come out of it. Through the providence of God, what a friend we have in Jesus is one of the hymns that many people know. If you ask people out in the world that aren't even saved, they know that hymn. They might know a lot that we know. Then, I Need Thee Every Hour was written by Mrs. Hawks. One day in 1872, let's go back in time here, 1872, on a bright June day, she was feeling the nearness of the Master. She said she didn't have any problems. She didn't have any troubles at all. She was just dwelling on the fact that these are human beings just like us. They're dead and gone now. But she was just dwelling and thinking of how could anybody live without Jesus? How could anybody live, enjoy her pain? How could they live without the Lord? She could just feel the nearness of her Jesus to her. And all of a sudden, the verse just came in her mind. It was a gift of God. It wasn't just from a woman. It was a gift of God. It came to her. I need thee every hour. And she immediately went and sat down and started pinning the words, and the Holy Spirit was giving her their song. These songs were born by the providence of God. They're for us. They're a gift of God. Everything God gives us is a gift of God. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. I want to encourage you tonight to understand God's work in your life so you won't get discouraged. When bad things happen to you, try to find some good. Try to trust the Lord that this is the providence of God. He will work it out. He will take care of it. He's the great I am. He has all power. God has all power. God wants to help us. I want to read this scripture in Luke 19. Look how the Lord prepared. He told his disciples in the 30th verse of 19, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him." You know, the Lord, he didn't have a place to lay his head, but he owned the whole world. You think it was any problem for God to get a colt when he needed a colt? Was it any hard for him to get a room to have supper with his disciples when he wanted one? He could do anything. He can do the same thing with us. He can give us whatever he wants to give us or take it away from us. He can do whatever he wants with us. We need something, he'll give it to you. You need a spiritual help, he'll give you spiritual help. You need a blessing from God, he'll give it to you. You believe that? You need God. We are needy people, dear ones. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us. Do you believe in the providence of God? Do you understand it? Do you believe God can help you work out in your situation? Sure he can. Praise the Lord. And he went there, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said. There was a colt tied. And as they were loosing the colt, you might say, well, who put that colt there? Who put that colt? Who tied up that colt? We don't have to know. God probably told some man, I need your colt. I need your colt. You go over there and tie up that colt because I need that colt. I don't know, but the colt was there, tied up. He has people he can talk to. He can tell them to go this or go there. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even out the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know, Jesus was praised. That was his time to be praised. He is the great I am. He is worthy of our praises. And you know, and it says, he answered and said, and they said, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. What I get from that is the trees will cry out. People can say there's no God. I tell you what, the moon tonight, look up in the sky, look at the moon. The moon cries out there is a God. The sun during the day cries out. The trees cry out. The flowers cry out. The rocks cry out. The mountains cry out. How great thou art! Praise God. They cry out, there is a great God. Glory be to God, there is a great God. So you don't want to praise me in your lips? The world that I made will praise me. That's what he's saying. The stones will cry out. Everything I have created will cry out. Glory be to God. Oh, he's a great I am. He is worthy to be praised. He prepared that colt. And then if you go over to Luke, the next chapter here, get my place here, Luke 22. I thought about this preparation. 22 and 8, the providence of God. He said to Peter, in the 8th verse, he sent Peter and John saying, this is in the 22nd chapter, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? He said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there made ready. Glory to God. You say God didn't own nothing? He didn't have a pillow to lay his head. He owned the world. He prepared anything he wanted. And the same with us today. If God wants you to have something in your life, if you need a spiritual help, he will provide it if you want it. He is a provider. He is the great I am. He is the preparer in our lives. Understand the providence of God. Thank him and praise him for all the things that he has done in your life. Praise God. You know, it said there, you shall see and you shall, and he will show you a large room. And they went and found as he had said and them, and they made ready the Passover. And that's where he had the Last Supper with his disciples. And this, one of the last scriptures we want to read you in St. John 14. Dear ones, if he takes care of us in this life and prepares so many things and provides and works in our life by the providence of God, don't worry about dying and going to heaven. God's got something there too. He's got something ready. He's working on it. He's preparing for us. And John 14, it says, I go, let not your heart be troubled. Are you troubled tonight? Is anything troubling you? Understand God's providence. And it will help you to overcome anything. If you really, really believe that God loves his children, you know, the Lord gave me a song during Monarch. I was in the cabin. Holy Spirit just gave me this song. I love you too much to forsake you or give you a trial too much. All my children are dearly purchased, and Satan can never claim such. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I think that's the name of the song, or when I get to the end of the way, it will matter but little at last what we've been through when we get to the end of the way. But do you believe that God loves you too much to forsake you or give you a trial too much? All his children are dearly purchased, and Satan can never claim such. But it's all with us working with the Lord. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Providence. Preparation. Providence means preparation for the future. That's what providence means. Preparation for the future. Provision. Did he not take care of the children of Israel when they went through? I don't have all the statistics on that, but you know how much food it took to feed those people? Their shoes never wore out. He provided for them all along. And he takes care of us too. Wisdom and skill in management. Does not God have wisdom and skill in managing his children? The care or guidance of God. God as the guiding power of the universe. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Many of us here tonight, we know the truth. We know the way to go. And praise the Lord. We need to go that way, stay that way, and praise God tonight for the providence of God. I just want to praise him for that. And say a little testimony before I sit down. And I've said the saints know this, but I just want to thank the Lord. When I was a little girl in Michigan, and I prayed to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I just want to find that right church. I was disappointed. I went to different churches, and they didn't really teach living free from sin. They didn't teach it right. They didn't teach the Bible right. And even though I was a little girl, maybe like 11 years old, I was so disappointed. And I said, I really want to get saved. Lead me to the right church. And through his providence, he sent my husband. He's been a wonderful, hardworking husband. And he sent him to me because his family knew the truth. And I often thought in high school, there was a couple relationships that started to get started. One was just about a week after him, and I said, no, I'm going with, I met somebody. But the Lord protected me from other relationships because he didn't go to my school, but the Lord protected me. And for, because he wanted me to find the right church. I thank God for that providence. I thank God for every one of you. I just don't count it happen chance or, you know, the Lord allowed by his mercy to bring us together. Every one of you here. Even if you were born among the saints, you're still very blessed. You're blessed that God put you in that family by his providence. I just want to thank the Lord tonight for that. Pray for me.